This time on episode 270 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Runaways Season 1, Episode 1, Reunion, weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Anthony Bachman from All Things Good and Nerdy, a geeky podcast part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, February 17th, 2019, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. And we get bigger ratings than the Daytona 500. Come on and join our live chat as we record. Ladies, happy National Random Acts of Kindness Day.
That is a very good holiday.
The best.
Did you guys do any random acts of kindness, or you got to run out and do some after we do the show?
I have mostly been working and sleeping on the couch because I've been feeling terrible lately.
Well, did you do random acts of kindness for your cats, maybe?
I mean, I petted them. Mm-hmm. I think that counts, right?
I think so. Michelle, what do you think? You have cats?
Yes, I petted mine, and she's now asleep on her little stool right next to me because it's podcast time.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't hiss back at the cat that's living in my house right now, who often hisses at me. So I guess we're good with random acts of kindness today.
All right, here's my random act of kindness. Listener, wherever you are, whoever you are amazing, you are wonderful, and somebody out there cares about you, and that somebody is us. You are awesome.
Lauren rolling in for the kill. All right, we got it going. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now in the 39th hiatus week following the season 5 finale, almost a year. The multiple Marvel Netflix series, which are still hanging on by two shows, and the Marvel Cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of random secret rooms.
If you'd like to talk to us about random secret rooms, please visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to tell us about your encounter with any, hidden passages, you can contact us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can see our wonderful faces on YouTube, www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
You can join our Discord server and chat at GunnaGeek.com/Discord.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
And speaking of the GunnaGeek.com network, Agent Haley is not with us tonight. That is because she is pulling double duty today as one of the companions that are part of the GunnaGeek contingent at Gallifrey One, part of her duties as a co-host for Gallifrey Public Radio, the Doctor Who podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. And so she should be back next week. Meantime, let's get on with our main event, our new series. And it's going to be an exciting one. Yes, we're starting the Runaways this week with the first episode of the first season. I have to enunciate that because apparently there's two seasons out right now. The episode is titled Reunion. It aired November 21st, 2017 on Hulu. Now, question for you ladies, since I did not watch this live, is this an every week thing, or is this like Netflix where they put the entire series or season on in one day?
What they did is they did three episodes at once and then once a week for the first season for the second season, it was a dump. Not the second season was a dump. The second season is amazing. I've actually seen it, but they dumped them all on one day.
Okay, so a little bit messing with the release schedule. And just for clarity's sake, I have not seen either of the seasons. I have only seen this one episode. I was really tempted to watch episode two. Lauren, you said that you've watched the first three episodes. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And then, of course, Michelle has seen everything. So Michelle will be my guide, at least, throughout this series and season. And I'm looking forward to that. We've done it once before with Legion, and we're doing it now with Runaways, and I can't wait for it. Anyway, Lauren, who directed this pilot episode of The Runaways?
This episode was directed by Brett Morgan, who has 16 directing credits going back to 1996, mostly documentaries. And honestly, there's some really good documentaries in here that I'm looking at. Five episodes of Say It Loud, A Celebration of Black Music in America, The Kid Stays in the Picture. One of, if not the best episode of 30 for 30, which is a sports documentary. There's two episodes that I really love. One is about parents who push their kids into excelling at sports. And it's like, watch that episode if you want a guide on how to make your kids hate you. But the episode that Brett Morgan directed is entitled June 17th, 1994. And it's about the intersection of three sports events, sort of. The particular events that happened on June 17th, 1994 are O.J. Simpson's running in the Bronco. Y'all remember the Bronco chase. There was a NBA Finals. It was the Game 5 NBA Finals on NBC that were interrupted by that. And there was a golf game that was really important. I don't know. There was all sorts of stuff that went on that day. It was a whole bunch of weird intersections. It's a fantastic episode. It used to be streaming on Netflix. I highly recommend it. And he directed this episode of Runaways.
Awesome. I remember. You guys remember where you were during O.J. Simpson's Bronco chase?
Oh, yeah. I was watching. I was watching from a home.
Okay, so you're at home at your parents' house, I'm assuming, watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Michelle, do you remember where you were?
I was at home, but I really wasn't watching it.
I happened to be in Washington, D.C. My dad was in Washington, D.C. just on a conference. So it was like the one day of the week that we decided we were going to get together because I was there for work and he was there for work. So we were both working and we took one night off. We went to the mall, in the middle of Washington, D.C., the mall, and we saw a concert with the band of the United States Air Force, I think it's called, by the Washington Monument. It was great. We come back to the hotel, which was in Crystal City. It was the Marriott Gateway at Crystal City. And if you've ever been in that particular hotel, it has a huge foyer with multiple levels and restaurants and stuff. And back in the day, they had big screen tube TVs, you know, not projection TVs, but big screen tube TVs. And like the entire hotel had come out and was watching around them. So my dad finally is like, hey, tell you what, there's a big TV up in the sports bar up on the third level. Let's go up there and we'll have a couple of drinks and we'll watch it. So that's where I watched O.J. Simpson's Slow Chase. Didn't realize what was going on until it was in the middle of it. And then, of course, it was part of American culture for the next two or three years. Anyway, so that is some great street cred for Brett Morgan. Michelle, who happened to write this episode of The Runaways?
There are two writers. First up is Josh Schwartz. Has 15 writing credits starting in 1999, including 22 episodes of The OC, which Josh also created, 4 episodes of Chuck, he's also created that series, 2 of Gossip Girl, 3 Runaways, also created The Runaways, the TV, and also developed the TV show Dynasty and wrote an episode of that. Second writer is Stephanie Savage, 10 writing credits starting in 2004, including 14 episodes of The OC, 12 episodes of Gossip Girl, 3 episodes of Runaways, and 1 episode of Dynasty. Methinks these two are a team.
It certainly looks like it.
And The Runaways is based on the Marvel comics by Brian K. Vaughan and Adrian Alfona.
So what we do at the beginning of each new series that we get into, actually season, to be honest with you, Because we'll run down the main cast. So we, at least, have a baseline of who we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. In this case, we're just going to go over what is the main cast, and we're going to tell the actor and then the character that they're playing. Lauren, why don't you start us off?
We're starting off with Renzi Felice as Alex Wilder.
Lyrica Okano as Nico Minoru.
Also, Virginia Gardner plays Carolina Dean.
Ariella Barrera as Gert Yorks.
Greg Sulkin as Chase Stein.
Allegra Acosta plays Molly Hernandez.
Angel Parker as Catherine Wilder.
Ryan Sands as Jeffrey Wilder.
Annie Wershing plays Leslie Dean.
Kip Pardue plays Frank Dean.
Ever Carradine plays Janet Stein.
James Marsters plays Victor Stein.
Bridget Branagh plays Stacy Yorks.
Kevin Weissman plays Dale Yorks.
Brittany Ishibashi plays Tina Minoru.
James Yaigashi plays Robert Minoru.
And Julian McMahon plays Jonah.
All right, that's our cast that we'll be talking about for the next... How many episodes are in this first season? Is it like 12 or 13?
10.
10 episodes. So for the next 10 weeks, minus the 2 weeks that we take off for the big Marvel movies coming up, we'll be talking about these characters. This episode is titled Reunion. And if Haley were here, I would ask her what reunion meant. I think I'm going to take a stab at this. I'm going to say the reunion is the fact that these kids have been apart for 2 years since the supposed death of one of their friends, and they're getting back together at the end of the episode. That is what reunion means. It's not funny. It's not, it's just what it is, right? And Michelle, do you have anything funny that you could say about this?
Well, they ordered a lot of pizza that went cold.
Yes, but they're teenagers, so cold pizza is good.
Look, pizza is an anytime food, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I really hope I don't drive y'all crazy when I interject with, well, this was different in the comics, or they got this right. Because without exaggerating, Runaways is one of my favorite comics ever. The writing is wonderful, and Adrian Alfona's art is gorgeous. Adrian Alfona also did art for when they introduced Kamala Khan as Miss Marvel. His art is just incredible. If you ever have a chance, check out his run on Miss Marvel or Runaways. His art is just amazing.
Yes, I've been picking up the comics, and I guess a new episode or issue came out this week, actually. I have not taken a chance to read them because...
Okay, but have you read the original Brian K. Vaughan run?
No, because, I have not.
Okay, read those first before reading the current run, because you are missing a lot of context.
Good to know.
I will say that the current run, while it is really good, starts off with a huge spoiler for the original run.
Oh, the current run. Okay. Well, it's good that I haven't read it yet. So, all right. Good to know. All right. So, Michelle, how do you want to tackle this episode?
Well, you've got two lines going through, and that's one of the things about the first season. I know this varies widely from the comic. The first season really delves into the parents' lives and the kids. The comic focuses on the kids. It took a lot of people by surprise how much time they devoted to the parents through the entire first season. But I like it because you've got it. There's a tension there, and it's really interesting.
I got to say, I read the synopsis of the second episode, and I was, because it came up on the Amazon. Okay, so I am watching this on Amazon Prime. So we talked about this before, and the fact that I didn't want to get another streaming service. Well, I didn't. I didn't pop for the Hulu thing. I just bought the season, and I decided of going with Amazon Prime just because it's easier to stream to more devices, because I'm not device limited like I am on Vudu. But I almost went with Vudu because of an issue of Amazon removing series or not getting new episodes of a series. But I thought I was safe with this one because all the episodes were out there. So anyway, I was going at the very end. It was doing the thing of going to the next episode. I'm like, no, I want to stay on the credits on this one. And I just read a quick synopsis, and it said the next episode was going to be a rewind of the same episode from the parents' perspective. I'd be like, oh, cool. That is so the thing that I want to see. But I didn't see it. I waited because I wanted to be fresh for next week.
Yeah. In the comics, attention is pretty much, I mean, the point of view is almost entirely from the kids. The parents are very two-dimensional. You don't get a whole lot from them. And okay, without a spoiler, the comic is basically sold as the kids of supervillains find out their parents are supervillains. I remember at the time it was coming out, Marvel was doing a whole bunch of young reader type comics. There was that. There was one called Sentinel, who the character came back for a little bit in the comics. And there was, I think it was like a Mary Jane focused one. And there were these smaller books, but they were kind of sold with these little quick log lines. And I remember Runaways was the one that interested me the most. And then when they started coming out in trade, that's when I started buying them. And I was hooked. The art was great. The story was great. Brian K. Vaughan is an amazing writer. Both his Marvel stuff and his original stuff. There's a comic that he did called Pride of Baghdad. If you just want to cry, just read it. The art's good. The story's good. And it's going to rip your heart out.
Oh, yes. That's what I want, to rip my heart out.
Sometimes you just need a good cry.
Well, that's true.
But he's really good at telling these wonderful character-focused stories. And he just, with Runaways, he created these wonderful characters that have stuck around since the early 2000s and pop up every now and then. And it just makes me so happy whenever they do. And I'm so glad that they're actually have an ongoing series again. It makes me so happy. And now that this show has been in talks for so long, they were going to do a movie, they were going to do a show, and now we actually have the show. And the first time we see Alex, he looks exactly like he does in the comics. The casting department was so excellent. Everybody looks just, Alex's outfit is pretty much exactly like what he's wearing in the first issue. I'm just beyond thrilled. It's, guys, I'm so happy.
So you mentioned something interesting, that the parents, which I haven't figured out yet watching the show, are supervillains. So let's go ahead. We'll talk about Pride for a second. So Pride, I guess, is this group that they're in doing something nefarious, and they all get together every once in a while at least one of their houses, if not many of their houses, where they're doing something in secret rooms. So Michelle, what'd you think about this the first time you saw it?
I thought it was interesting that if first, you have this church of Gaborim happening, who's saving runaway kids. And I'm just going to say saving right now, offering shelter.
We don't use that word. Cult, of course.
Yeah, don't use cult. And then, you know, the 6 months later, then we learn about Pride. But what you realize is that Carolina's parents are with the church, and then they're a part of Pride. And then when you see Destiny at the end, it makes that line. There's runaway at the beginning. Her name's Destiny, and she's being threatened by these two men. And then the,
let's say, quote unquote threatened, because what they're actually saying is, calm down, she's scared.
Yeah, I watched.
We're trying to save you.
I did watch. Yes, I watched it twice. And the second time I picked up on the saving. But the first time I thought it was an assault.
Yeah, I listened to what they were saying. And they're actually saying, like, calm down, she's scared.
Yeah, well, she's scared. And she ends up going in the van. And then the guys end up saying she would have been safer with us. And it just makes that line, when you see what happens at the end, it's like, oh, boy, you know that you're in for some super villain stuff when these two random guys are saying this random girl would have been much safer with us. No matter what you thought of us, she would have been safer with us. It says a lot of creepiness is going to happen, and it does.
Yeah. Random, again, me jumping in with, oh, but in the comic. So in the comic, the Deans are actually actors. They're basically Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman circa the mid-90s in terms of just popularity and, oh, the couple factor. And
so one was really taller than the other? I mean, the guy was short and the woman was tall?
Maybe Brangelina would be the...
Which I've heard they might be getting back together recently.
I don't know.
I hope not.
But in this, I thought this was really an ingenious way of bringing the Geborim in, because we have that tie-in from the start. We have that word being thrown in from the start. So we know, okay, this is a thing. And it kind of brings in... So I live in Houston, home of the mega church of Joel Osteen. And the whole Church of the Geborim thing really reminds me a lot of mega churches. There's that really aggressive social media thing going on. There's a lot of similarities there in terms of how they're presenting themselves. And I think that was a very deliberate choice on the part of the writers. And I think that's very interesting to see that kind of, okay, instead of celebrities, instead of Hollywood, let's tie this into making this sort of not only a faith thing, but kind of a lifestyle thing, like she points out.
Right. You know, smile a lot and post pictures on Instagram with hashtag blessed on them.
Yeah, this episode takes more of the kids' point of view, where we learn that the death of Amy, who is Nico's sister, happened 2 years ago, and that was really the final straw. The fact that also Alex did not go to the funeral, also this group, you know, made this group fall apart. And it's Amy died on the night of a pride meeting, and the family's going to have another pride meeting, and Alex decides to try to get everybody together. And we actually see that they all go to the same school, but they don't really talk to each other.
It's Brentwood. I mean, does anybody talk to each other? They're all on their phones, right?
So Amy is not a character in the comics. They are all only children in the comics. But I thought this was a really interesting way. Instead of just, oh, they grew apart because of they got older, they all have different interests. This was, I think, a really interesting way to actually make there be an inciting event. Because, yeah, while kids grow apart and everything, it kind of brings in more emotional stakes. I like that.
It did seem to work. I mean, they had a common traumatic experience to bond together with. And even though they've been apart for 2 years, it was obviously affecting everybody probably about the same. Now, it might have manifested differently, but they were all deeply affected by it. Let's talk a little bit about Alex. So his parents are, or at least his dad's from the hood, right?
Yes.
And now he does real estate.
Yep. And the parents are all well-to-do. They're all in Brentwood, obviously, which is a upscale suburb of LA, I think.
Yes.
Speaking of the O.J. Simpson chase.
Oh, yeah. There's a tie-in to O.J. Simpson. There you go. And he's apparently intelligent. He likes to video game. And he's been alone for 2 years trying to deal with this whole thing. And his parents are worried about him. And he seems well adjusted, though, aside from reaching out to everybody, because he said, look, yeah, we're going to go off to college soon. I'll just make new friends there, which I think is a very adult thing to say of I'm going to be leaving in X amount of time and I'll just make friends there. Now, it means that you can't enjoy where you're at. And I think a lot of teenagers get stuck in that midway point, especially if you've moved or if your parents got divorced or something like that. So I think it speaks to a lot of people of, do they really get invested in where they are, or do they just wait until they're in a more settled environment? Anyway, so that is Alex, and I actually enjoyed it. He came up to Chase, and he was very deliberate on who he was trying to get to come over first, because he knew that if the Chase Lego would fall, that a lot of the other bricks would come with that. So this guy's not dumb.
No, Alex is very smart. So, again, in the comic, when it's first introduced, we're introduced to, like, Captain America and, you know, the Hulk, and then it turns out this is a Marvel MMO that Alex is playing. Whereas in this, it's more of like kind of a Call of Duty type thing.
Right. It's something that Tonks would play, right?
No, Tonks is scared of loud noises.
Oh, well, nice to know. It's something to threaten him with if you ever need to.
Pike, however, Pike likes the violence.
Oh, I see.
Pike Trickleg being my horrible, horrible kitten who is adorable. And if you're watching the live stream, can be seen over my shoulder.
Yep. He needs to get in the camera shot every week, every week.
It was a good way to really show how important Amy is, because not only could you tell that there was another player that he was, that he would play with, and you find out it was Amy. When they finally get together, Alex sits in the chair and Molly's like, no, that's her chair. And Nico feels like she has to apologize for not being Amy, that she's sorry that she's not her sister. That hit me in the, like, whoa.
Let's move on to Nico real quick. So Nico is adorable. She's goth. And when we first see her, she's putting on her makeup and she goes into Amy's room, which is unchanged. And she's going to borrow some tights and she knocks over one of her sister's tennis trophies and breaks it. And we see this very strained relationship between her and her mom. So we kind of get the feeling that she's been apologizing for not being Amy for a while. And we see a scene between her and Carolina in the bathroom when they're both kind of crying and blaming it on allergies, as one does. And she says, you know, whether you're hiding behind makeup or a smile, it's still hiding.
That's a very adult conversation. Of course, it's all dialogue, but I think that it could be something that kids would say back and forth.
Honestly, losing someone close to you makes you grow up real fast.
Yeah, it does. The one thing about Nico that I just want to point out is I almost thought I was watching an episode of Charmed.
Okay, I want to address this. There's a part towards the end where she goes out to the beach and she's lighting candles and she's doing a ritual and I guess trying to talk to her dead sister. I just want to address, odds are, if you are a teenage girl, you've probably done witchcraft at some point in your life. If not at a sleepover, I mean, if you're a teenage girl, at some point you probably had a diary called Your Book of Shadows, and you probably did Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board at a sleepover. And you probably, if you're my age, you grew up on the craft, and you tried to light candles and you tried to concoct your own rituals to like send your enemies bad dreams and just stuff like that. And it never worked because, you know, you're 13.
Remind me to never give you a candle.
Okay. Have you ever seen Lilo and Stitch?
Yes.
Okay. You know the part where she's doing voodoo and she's like, my friends need to be punished.
Oh, well, yeah. There was voodoo in there, but there was also Ohana Meets Family.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of papers written about it, about why teenage girls in specific are so drawn to witchcraft. And it's because it gives us a feeling of power in an uncaring world. And I think you could see this in Nico in particular. This is how she's grieving. She's trying to get some feeling of power back. She had this very close encounter with death in that it took her sister, someone that she was presumably very close to. And you can either, once that happens, you either pretend that death doesn't exist and try to shut it out and smile, or you can just kind of embrace it. And she embraced it.
I kind of figured that she was trying to bring Amy back, not just talk to her. Did I see that?
She is not trying to bring Amy back.
No, she just wants to talk to her.
Yeah.
Okay. Nico, it almost unnerved me a little bit, the fact that she went into Amy's room and the security system said, you know, Amy's door has been open or something like that. Then I was just thinking, you know, I could do the same thing in my house right now if I wanted to, just with a simple door sensor and link it into my Amazon device. That could be done. So it's not high-end stuff anymore, but this was a couple years ago, so it might have been a little bit more high-end back then. I don't know.
This was like last year.
Yeah. Well, I a little bit more normal now.
The Minorus, especially the mom, you see this a lot in cases when a child dies or when a child goes missing, the room just stays untouched. There's a sense that you're just waiting for them to come back. It's not even just a kid. You see this a lot when anyone dies. They don't want to throw out their things. They don't want to lose that physical sense of them.
Yeah, my kids are getting to the point where they're all moving out. So, you know, in a couple of months, I'm going to be like, I get 3 rooms back.
Oh, yeah. No, my parents, every time I go visit them, they're like, here's your stuff. Get rid of it or keep it or whatever. We need room.
It's yours.
I'm like, okay.
Get it out of this house. Get it out. Okay.
I just found my journal from when I was 9. It's terrible.
All right. You probably do a D&D campaign out of that. I'm thinking. Yeah. All right. So that's Niku. Let's move on to Gert. Michelle, talk to us about Gert.
She's our little social justice warrior, bringing down the patriarchy, realizing that men also have to fight the patriarchy as well. And it's very interesting watching her development, because she's very much of, what does it mean to be, don't have to conform? Because if you couldn't tell, she has a crush on Chase. And that becomes very interesting as she's all like, I got to fight the patriarchy, but I have a crush on the smart jock guy who ditched me when we were supposed to have a tutoring day at a coffee shop so he could go to a party. But in a way, it was kind of good that Chase went to the party because Carolina ended up there, ended up passing out. And
I have so much to say about that scene.
Awful scene happened. But that's Gert.
Gert was my favorite character in the comics. I actually, my first ever Gen Con, I did Gert York's cosplay. And I love her. I relate so hard to her. I was in high school, the one who was trying to lead revolutions in class and got in a lot of trouble because revolutions don't work so well when your mom's a teacher at your high school.
No. But man, both you and Haley, because Haley's dad was the principal, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
My mom taught math at my high school. I couldn't get away with anything.
Well, Gert's not alone at home. She also has Molly Hernandez, who's been adopted. And Lauren, why don't you tell us about Molly?
Okay, another change from the comics. In the comics, she's Molly Hayes, and her parents are alive. Here, she's Molly Hernandez, and she's a little older. She's aged up. In the comics, she's like 11. Here, she's, what, maybe 13, 14? And she's Gert's adopted sister after her parents died in a fire. She wants to try out for the dance team. She wears a lot of pink. She's just a happy little kid. And she's like, oh, my body's changing. Everything hurts. And the Yorkses, who are very granola, crunchy people, very much, you know, oh, just drink the tea that I gave you. And what's happening to your body is perfectly natural. And just give yourself an orgasm in the bathroom, and which is good advice, but just, oh my God, if my mom told me that, I would just die.
And that's what I was thinking of. If my mom told me that, my dad told me that, and if I was a female, that would be something that I would, it would mortify me.
Boundaries, people, boundaries.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, she's not having her period. She's getting powers. She's super strong. She can push a car. Well, a VW bus.
It's a car. Okay. I get it.
It's a vehicle.
Not only does she push it, not only does she grab the metal medical table at school, she crushes the metal with her bare hands. Not a sliver on her hands, no cuts, no nothing. Just, and she feels powerful. She was ready to go. By the way, before all this started, she went to a dance tryout. I just want to say something about dance tryouts, because I know something about dance tryouts. That is not how dance tryouts work.
No.
Dance tryouts are done in front of coaches, not teammates. It's not the, what was that movie series called?
Bring It On.
It's not Bring It On. No, I'm sorry. I think everybody thinks it's Bring It On, but it's not. But aside from that, she has some moves. She was dancing pretty nice. You know, she probably make the team.
I think the actress is actually a dancer.
That's good.
So yeah, I, again, this is completely different from the comics, but I really like the sister dynamic that we get between her and Gert. Again, I really like most of the changes they made.
Okay, well, their parents are weird because there's a dinosaur in the basement.
I want that. Well, for, there's a lot of animals in the basement, but also a dinosaur. I want that to be my life. It has always been my goal since I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I want a pack of properly sized hunting velociraptors. You know, the ones that are about the size of a medium to large dog.
They would still eat you, Lauren.
No, I would train them. They would go after my enemies.
You are not Chris Pratt. I love you. But you're not going to get in the pen.
I am better than Chris Pratt.
Don't think so. Okay. Let's move on. We'll talk about Chase here. And Chase is this, as we've said before, smart athlete. Oh, he has some issues with his dad, who seems to be an overachiever and could never live up to what his dad wants. As smart as he is, he seems to be slacking off in school a little bit and not doing the Spanish as well as he could. And he tries to get Gert to tutor him. He cuts out on Gert, which, okay, let's talk about the sequence of events here, because I've watched this twice and it bugged me each time. So Gert and Chase set a time to get together and go over Spanish at the coffee shop. Right after that, Chase is told by his buddies that they're going to go to this party. He has enough time to text Gert and tell her, let's do this another night. And he doesn't. So he is the asshole in this whole thing.
Oh, no, he is an asshole. He's just, okay, so the first time we see him, he is basically being threatened by his dad. Like, if you were really scared of me, you'd be getting better grades.
Right, but what can he... Well, I mean, we are talking about me, and someone's like, well, what can he do? But who knows what he can do?
Yeah, we see him. He's not doing that great in school. In the comics, he is actually kind of a dumb jock. He doesn't really kind of get better at mechanics and stuff until he has some practice much later on. But when we see him in the lunch line, he is messing with a design of his own. So we figure out, okay, guy's actually pretty smart. Maybe languages just aren't his thing. But then we see his friends and they're like, oh, we got to do this. We got to go to this party. Peer pressure. Guy's just very easily swayed, it seems.
Yeah. And as you pointed out before, it's kind of good that he was at the party. And I think it was probably good for everybody as well because of what happened to Carolina Dean. She takes off her, this is what I can tell, right? During the episode, she supposedly, it was fake that she had the drug, but then she had it afterwards, so she didn't take the drug. I think what set her powers off is the fact that she took the bracelet off, and then boom, her powers started to manifest, and they came on so strong, she collapsed, basically, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, in the comic, it's actually like a medical alert bracelet instead of the Church of Gaborim bracelet. And in the comic, this party scene doesn't happen at all. Like, they just show up to the Pride meeting. That's where it all starts.
I will say the special effects were awesome, where she's just light and dazzling and pretty colors and everything. That was awesome.
I was so worried about that. Let's talk a bit about Carolina before we come to this part. Carolina, as we mentioned, her parents are in charge of this church. She's their darling little daughter, the millennial face of the church. And she wants to rebel. When she's talking to Destiny, she's like, what did it feel like? And we find out she's talking about rebelling, not, you know, being saved by her parents. So she goes to this party and we are led to believe she took this pill and that's when her powers happen, but no. And that's when she passes out. Chase's two bros drag her to a bedroom and are about to rape her. I think the scene was completely unnecessary. The purpose of the scene, narratively, is to show that Chase is a good guy. We see him rescuing her. It's called the save the cat the moment in script writing. When you see a character who you might be kind of ambiguous towards, you might think they're kind of a jerk, but then they do a good thing. It's called the save the cat the moment. I think the scene was completely unnecessary. You could have shown that Chase was a good person another way. An almost rape scene, I don't think it needed to happen.
I would have to agree.
Yeah. This really soured me on the series as a whole. when I first started watching it.
You know, when Chase breaks up the two guys, and it's getting past what happened. So he's breaking up the two guys and he's fighting them. And then they come back at him and said, "You're dead." And if I was Chase, I'd be like, "What? I'm not the one who is going to assault somebody right now. You guys are in trouble." That's how I would have come back at it. But it's what Chase did. So I can only sense that this is going to come back on them later on, because I don't think this is just going to be left alone. I hope it is, but I think we're going to get more of this later on.
The thing is, why I feel, again, that this was completely unnecessary is I feel this is just going to be dropped. And that's the way it is with a lot of rape scenes and almost rape scenes in movies, in shows. We don't see Carolina really, we see her saying, "Oh, I don't want to be alone," but it's just to get her to this point where they all go to the Wilder's house. And there's not any real consequences from it. We see when Gert's mad at Chase, we see him making eye contact with Carolina once or twice, and that's it. We don't see Carolina having any sort of ill effects. It's all about Chase. It's not about Carolina at all. And that's one of the reasons why there's many reasons to hate rape scenes in movies, in shows, in books. But because it tends to be about the effects on the guy and pretty much none about the woman, and pretty much when it's shown in a titillating manner, I'm tired. I'm really, really tired.
Unfortunately, this is the weakest part of the series, because it does, that moment actually impacts Chase's life a lot more than it does Carolina's. It's like any effect that Carolina might have, any thoughts or feelings about it, just are ignored. And it, that moment impacts Chase's life and it does become about him. I do agree. This is the weak part of the series.
Well, at the end, when they all get together, they find, of course, the secret room that is in, I don't know if it's technically a basement, because at least they call it out. There's no basements in LA. Yes, I know this. Yeah. There's no basements in LA, largely because of earthquakes, mm-hmm. but it's also a rock formation. A lot like Texas, by the way.
Yeah. So I remember, just an aside, this is why you do your research. And writers, thank you for pointing out there are no basements in LA. I was reading the sequel to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I can't remember what the sequel's called. It starts off in the Bahamas. There's a hurricane coming in. So first off, it appears out of nowhere. No, we get plenty of warnings before hurricanes. And everybody runs to the basement. There are no basements in the Bahamas. Every single thing about this was wrong. And it was only because I said I was going to read all these books that I didn't just immediately chuck it across the room. People, writers, do your research.
The one thing I have to say about a basement in a tropical location, whether it's Hawaii, the Bahamas, Caribbean, wherever, is that if you do have a major weather event like a hurricane, the thing that I would worry about would be flooding.
Oh, yeah. The first major flood that we got here in Houston back in 2008, we don't have basements here, but there was a partially underground parking garage in a hotel a couple miles from us. That thing flooded horribly. The partially underground jurors building in downtown Houston, it's been over a year, and that thing still has a whole bunch of flood damage.
Right.
And those are just partial underground structures.
Yeah, New York City had a lot of issues when the hurricane hit them a few years ago as well, shut down subways and everything else down there. So yes, that would be what I would worry about. And that is probably why there's not a lot of basements in tropical locations, because they do get hurricanes quite a bit. It's not necessarily that it's built on rocks, so you can't build the basement, is because the basement's going to flood. So why do it?
Yeah. Also in Texas, it's because you go down 6 inches and you hit bedrock.
Well, they make dynamite for a reason.
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining blowing things up. Okay, anyway, so they go down to the basement, and that's when they see this. Everybody's in red robes, so nothing is ever good when people are hanging out in red robes.
I wasn't sure if they were cosplaying the Emperor's Guard in Star Wars.
Again, Nothing ever good when people are in red robes.
That's fair. And this is where we see the scene with Destiny that Michelle pointed out before, where she is being forced into some sort of coffin cocoon pod something. And we don't know what's going on. I think we're going to find out a little bit more about it next episode, but we don't know. And then, of course, the kids, what do? They immediately take out their cell phones and take a picture.
It's Molly. They're like, okay, we don't want the little one to see. And Molly's like, I want to see picture.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just her. It's not all of them. It is just her because she's like, I want to see. Me. Because
if
I'm 14.
If she had turned her flash off, wouldn't be a problem. Because they're all talking really loud.
Yeah, and they bang on whatever that force field was with their hand. I'm like, really, guys?
Oh, my God. Just guys, quiet, inside voices.
You guys are not Nancy Drew, obviously. You have no idea how to quietly enter into a facility or spy on other people or anything. Okay.
You are bad at this job.
And then they run, and of course they say, oh, what was that?
And that's where the episode ends.
I wonder what that was. I mean, duh. It's the kids that finally found your secret entrance because they were in your office looking for some hooch. Oh, and let's take a step back. So the whole coaster thing as the entrance, the opening the entrance thing, really, in this day and age of all the electronics with all the home automation, that's how you open the special door? Really?
I mean, there's something to be said for style.
Yeah.
And remember, this is a room that the kids are never supposed to be into. This is the study. It's supposed to be always locked.
I mean, if I was going to have a secret hideout, I would probably do like a secret book or something. Just, you know, classics.
All right.
So maybe with a background like garage clicker, just in case. But secret book, pull out bookshelf. Come on.
Okay, points for style, but then again, it was easily found. So, okay. Michelle, is there anything else important that you want to point out from this episode?
The question about what happens to Amy, that is important this season. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
The whole Amy dying is not a throwaway. It's not just some sort of event that they casually talk about this first episode and it's dropped. It is not the what happened to Amy all throughout the season.
All right. Lauren, is there anything else you want to gush about? Your favorite Marvel series ever?
Read the comics. Brian K. Vaughan's Runaways. Read volumes specifically 1 through 5 of Brian K. Vaughan's Runaways.
How many volumes are there?
More than that. Joss Whedon did a run, but it's Mm-hmm. But volumes 1 through 5 are amazing.
Okay. Good to know.
I think it's 1 through 5. Yeah. And if you love Saga, he's the same writer that did Saga.
All of Saga?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I have a lot of the Saga books, but I started late. So I have the trade paperback to start it off. And I got halfway through it. It's pretty good. It's good. So I might go back to it when I can get time sometime. Anyway, next Sunday, we'll be tackling Runaways Season 1, Episode 2, Rewind, which is basically the same episode from the parents' point of view. Next time, you can catch it on Hulu if you have a subscription, or you could buy the series on a multiple different places, iTunes, Amazon Prime, Vudu, wherever you want to. I would encourage you to grab it and then talk to us and tell us what you think about it.
Time for the news. Speaking of Hulu, Hulu wants to do some business with Marvel when it comes to the Defenders and other things.
Yes, Hulu might be open to reviving the Defenders series. In an interview with Craig Erwick, the senior vice president of Hulu Originals, he has stated that Marvel has a ton of titles we'd be interested in, and said it kind of just depends on when they're ready and who, most importantly, is going to be behind these things. And when they were asked about maybe reviving the stuff about Defenders, they said We've had a relationship with Marvel since Runaways. We're getting into business on these animated shows. I'm sure it will lead to, you know, business gets you business. We have a good creative relationship with them. That's where opportunities tend to arise. And what animated shows, you might say?
What anime shows are we talking about?
Animated, not anime. There's a difference.
What animated shows are we talking about?
Well, Hulu is going to have not the Defenders, but the Offenders. Meet Marvel's The Offenders as MODOK, Hitmonkey, Tigra, Dazzler, and Howard the Duck get animated on Hulu. Just can't escape Howard the Duck. But there are some awesome creative teams behind these. So first of all, most of these are all really ridiculous characters. Most, if not all. I would argue that Tigra and Dazzler are pretty mainstream characters as far as the comics go.
So is Howard the Duck, unfortunately.
Okay, so in MODOK, it's going to come from writers Jordan Bloom and Patton Oswalt, who you might know as Mr. Lanyard from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He is an egomaniacal supervillain with a really big head and a really little body, struggling to maintain control of his evil organization and demanding family. Marvel's Hitmonkey tells the tale of a wronged Japanese snow monkey mentored by the ghost of an American assassin as he cuts a wide swath through the Tokyo underworld. And it comes from writers Josh Gordon and Will Speck. Marvel's Tigra and Dazzler show, two woke superheroes and best friends, Tigra and Dazzler, fight for recognition among powered people who make up the 8 million stories in Los Angeles. Comes from writers Erica Rivenoha and Chelsea Handler. And Howard the Duck, trapped in a world he never made, America's favorite fighting fowl, Howard the Duck, hopes to return home with the help of his unstoppable gal pal Beverly before the evil Dr. Bong can turn him into the crispiest dish on the menu. Comes from writers Kevin Smith and Dave Willis. And they are going to team up in The Offenders.
Kevin Smith, I guess there's a lot of people out there that absolutely love him. I haven't seen anything from his that recently anyway, that I really head over heels on, but you know, the guy has a lot of cred, geek cred over the years. So we'll see about that.
Moving on to Captain Marvel news, Brie Larson has some things about her press tour.
Brie Larson isn't letting her Captain Marvel press tour be overwhelmingly male and white. Right now, the Captain Marvel press tour is going on, and she has decided to make it as inclusive as possible. She did a recent interview with Marie Claire and handpicked Kia Brown to be her interviewer. Brown called this the biggest opportunity she'd had in her career and noted that nobody usually wants to take a chance on a disabled journalist. Brie Larson responded with, "About a year ago, I started paying attention to what my press days look like and the critics reviewing movies, and noticed it appeared to be overwhelmingly white male. So I spoke to Dr. Stacy Smith at USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, who put together a study to confirm that. Moving forward, I decided to make sure my press days were more inclusive. After speaking with you, the film critic Valerie Complex, and a few other women of color, it sounded like across the board they weren't getting the same opportunity as others. When I talked to the facilities that weren't providing it, they all had different excuses." And then later she said, "I want to go out of my way to connect the dots. It just took me using the power that I've been given now as Captain Marvel. The role comes with all these privileges and powers that make me feel uncomfortable because I don't really need them. It's a byproduct of the profession and a sign of the times. But any uncomfortableness I feel is balanced by the knowledge that it gives me the ability to advocate for myself and others. Am I saying I hate white dudes? No, I'm not. But if you make a movie that is a love letter to a woman of color, there's an insanely low chance a woman of color will have a chance to see your movie and review your movie." Again, Brie Larson being awesome by actually acknowledging that, hey, people aren't going to get a chance. Okay, industries usually run on who you know, and nobody will get the chance unless somebody gives them that chance. So thank you to Brie Larson for actually using her position of power to give women of color, disabled people, the chance to actually become somebody who somebody could say, "Oh, I worked with that person. Let me call them."
It will be interesting seeing this press tour, which I suspect will start any day now if it hasn't already started.
It's already started.
Yeah.
She's knee deep in it.
I've been enjoying all the commercials and all the shows that I've seen. I've seen all the commercials or all the trailers, I guess, multiple times. It's just great. I think this is going to be a good movie. I'm going to be entertained by it at least. So I'm really looking forward to it. Again, I will see this opening night, and I don't see a lot of movies opening night. So I'm going to take time off to see this. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm excited. And again, the fact that Marvel keeps getting legitimately not just good actors, but good people in the roles just makes me so happy.
Yeah, they had to take a chance on Robert Downey Jr., though. I know he was kind of on the upswing, but they still had to take a chance on him. So
yeah, and then he took that chance and has used it to help out a lot of people. And again, International Day of Kindness, it costs so little to take what you have and use it to help somebody. Just even if that's, it's just smiling and being like, hey, I got you. Use somebody's correct pronouns. Use somebody's correct name. Tell somebody when you know they're having a hard time, like, you know, hey, I know you're having a hard time. Here's a picture of a puppy. It costs so little to be a good person. And when you know, they're using literally the with great power comes great responsibility here at Marvel. You have Brie Larson using her power to give people a leg up in their profession. And people are able to give other people a leg up once they are established. And that's how you get a more inclusive field. That's how you make huge strides. And it means so much.
It certainly does. And that is all we have for the news. Moving on to feedback, we heard from at Born to Eat Bacon.
From Twitter, Born to Eat Bacon said, special request from a cable cutter. With the overflow of Marvel properties to cover, might you consider waiting to cover seasons of Legion till it airs on Hulu? I really missed out not being able to watch with the agents. So we have no idea what our upcoming schedule is going to be past S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, we've never covered Legion when it actually airs. We cover it later.
Yeah, so far everything is up in the air.
Yeah, we've covered Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Legion pretty much after it's aired in the off weeks of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then we've been filling time with the Defenders series on Netflix. Of course, I think the last season of that will be coming out pretty soon, so it'll all be in retrospect, at least for a while. We might want to consider grabbing them before they leave Netflix, because they'll be on for a couple of years and that's about it, and it'll take us a couple of years to get through it. Anyway, no, we don't have a schedule on when we're going to get through anything. I actually suggested that we do Jessica Jones season 2 before we did anything else, and everybody needed kind of a palate cleanser from the Defenders after the Punisher, so we're going with the Runaways, and that's the decision that was made. So we're just going to go through it. There's also Cloak and Dagger out there too, which we should be going through at some point in time. We will be going through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the week that it airs. That's our primary show. And I correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but it's actually been renewed for another season, even before this one's aired. So we're going to get 6 and 7 in the future, right?
What, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure we covered this.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we covered this a little bit ago that they were renewed. But if I'm incorrect, I'm incorrect on that.
Yeah, the moral of the story is I'm confused.
Speaking of S.H.I.E.L.D., Andy Binga retweeted Ming-Na Wen with some good news.
Yes, he said, this totally went over my head. To which Ming-Na had tweeted, happy Valentine's Day from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a picture and said, happy Valentine's Day to all of our patient and loving fans. We'll be together in May. Little happy face and heart, Agent May. So see Agent May in May.
Did you actually see her picture on, it was today or yesterday? Apparently she looked like she was going to a Kiss concert.
No, but I need to see this.
Yeah. She definitely looked like made up like Kiss with the black and the white and, you know, the face. And I think her husband too. I'm not sure who the other one was in the picture. It's hard to tell with the makeup on. Didn't know. But yes, we get to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in May and not in June. So our hiatus, I'm not sure if we're going to get a full year of hiatus in now, but it's going to be close.
Very close.
Okay. Yes. She has her face painted like Jean Simmons.
And by the way, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is confirmed for season 7. It was renewed before season 6 aired. So we'd have two more years or two more seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No idea when 7's going to air. Like, they could do 6 this summer and then 7 in the fall. I don't know, but we have 6 and 7 on the docket.
Speaking of shows, Pirate Angel retweeted discussing film about the Loki TV show.
Yep. Atta Donnagirl said, in response to At Discussing Film saying, the Loki TV series will reportedly follow Tom Hiddleston's Loki appearing during certain moments in human history as an unlikely influencer on historical events. To which Adonna Girl said, idea, Loki tries to mess with something connected to Peggy Carter and she just ain't having it. Oh, we could see Peggy Carter again.
Okay, now that is something I would pay money for, is to see Agent Carter just kick Loki's butt all over, up, down, wherever, because we all know she could.
Just through several different decades.
And then we heard from Cage and Sean on Discord.
Yes, Cage and Sean said, hey guys, since Clark Gregg is in the Captain Marvel movie, do you think we'll see the bus somewhere in the movie?
Oh, I didn't think about that until I saw this. I was like, oh yeah, it's that. Now, it won't be the same bus, because remember, it went into renovations, but it'll be the same plane. That would be so cool.
Little baby bus.
Baby bus. It's, well, I mean, it's the same bus. It's just, it'll be different. Oh, I hope we do. I hope we do. That'd be so cool. What a great callback to the series in the movie, because that would, in the movie time frame, that's when the bus was out there and in service. And I believe Clark Gregg mentioned that he was bringing it out of mothballs. So yes, this should happen. And if Marvel's already made the movie without it in it, there's nothing they could do about it right now, but that would have been so cool. Oh, you made my day with that question there.
Yeah, I just, that would be fun.
All right. Aside from flying the bus on the way this one out, what we're going to do is we're going to push the bus, meaning the van, and get this one out. Welcome to the new season. Thank you for staying with us during everything over the holidays. And we are current now with the Runaways, and we hope you're enjoying it with us.
Thank you to everybody who gets a hold of us, whether it's on Twitter or Discord. Remember, you can come hang out with us on Discord. It's fun.
Thank you to everybody who listens and who enjoys us talking about a show that aired in 2017 and doesn't mind that we're covering in 2019. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, we didn't quite make it. Unlike The Punisher, we weren't close to the airing of season 2 on this one. Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See everybody next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
So Geeky Jersey's got me again. They announced, I missed it the first time around. It was the Rebel Squadron 2.0 jerseys.
Ah, nice.
Which is more along the lines of the sequel movies rather than the original movies. And I have an original one, but I didn't get the 2.0 one. They came out again and I was like, I want. So I bought it. Might not see it until August, but I ordered it. The name on the back is Antilles and the number is 77.
Yes.
For 1977. I guess I could have gone. I think he was Red 4. I thought about doing 4, but I chose 77.
Wedge?
Yep.
Wedge is Red 2, I believe.
Yep, that's right. He was. I would have found out for sure before buying the jersey. I'm pretty sure you're right. Luke was 5.
Yeah, Luke is Red 5.
Because the first one I bought has my name on it.
Yep, Wedge is Red 2.
Okay.
And during the Battle of Hoth, Wedge is Rogue 3. And in Star Wars Legends, he's Rogue Leader.
So anyway, I did bought one. Geeky jersey for the win. Hey.
I was so tempted to break out my copy of Runaways Volume 1, but then I'm like, but this is primarily an audio medium, so...
Yeah, right. I've been buying the comics because I knew we'd get here, but I haven't read them.
Oh, they're my favorites.
Yeah, actually, I really want... I watched it twice, and I really wanted to watch the next one because I read the description, and it said from the parents' point of view, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch this one. I didn't. So before we go on air, has anybody watched this all the way through season one?
I watched the first 3 episodes.
And I've watched both seasons.
Okay.
So this is a rewatch for me, which it was very interesting. I'm putting stuff in the show notes and it's like, oh, that doesn't happen. I'm backtracking when I'm watching the episode. Oh, that's later. Oh, that's later. So I'm very careful when I do the show notes. I make sure, because I'm like, oh, I put this and it was like, oh, that's later. Oh, that's season 2. So I'm being very careful and I will avoid spoilers for you too.
So the latest round of Captain Marvel comics started coming out and I read the second issue last night. Like, oh, I'm so excited. I mean, I know it's nothing that's going to happen. If you haven't caught this run of Captain Marvel, so what it looks like to me is a bunch of women are stuck on Manhattan. Is it Manhattan Island? One of the islands. Might be Manhattan. And only women can get in. So, like, Jessica, you know, the Hulk, She-Hulk gets in, and Captain Marvel gets in, and whatever. So, I don't know. It's a nice dichotomy. And Iron Man and Captain America, they're all pissed off because they're just bouncing off this barrier. They can't get in. It's interesting.
My local comic book store went out of business.
Oh, the one that with the nice guys that held everything for you.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Diamond. The distribution changed and the rent went up, and they were trying to change locations, and then they weren't even getting shipments in October, and then I just didn't hear from them, and then they're just like, yeah, we're basically closed. So I'm behind, and I'll just have to. Like, get maybe probably digital trade paperbacks now or something.
I was going to ask, is there anywhere close that you can go to, or was that the only one?
That was our only one. I don't really feel like driving to Bloomington. I love comic books, but I'm not driving to Bloomington.
Yeah.
I do have several within driving distance, but the one I go to is literally on my way home from work. So it's very easy on Wednesday or Friday if I make it to Friday. Or Thursday, just to stop by there and to pick stuff up. And it's one of the best shops in the area anyway. So I'm very fortunate, but I realize that not everybody is.
I mean, the local Books a Million sells comics, but it's all like the popular stuff. And
yeah.
So one thing that I did is with Anthony, I bought him when we were doing Long Box. I actually bought him a year's of the Ben O'Reilly Spider-Man thing through Marvel.
Yeah.
So I know that you can get direct deliveries, but that's cutting out the middleman. And that's kind of part of the bonus of comic books, right? Is to go to the comic book store. Sorry, Michelle. At least you do have electronic available to you.
Yeah, but I've been waiting. So I'm so far behind on stuff because I was like, oh, Maybe now. Nope. I have to admit, I'm pleasantly surprised that Pike was just on the couch for the entire time.
Yeah.
He wasn't like running around and destroying everything. It's like the first time I've seen him actually sleep.
What kind of drugs did you feed him?
Nothing.
Really?
He's just kind of there.
Okay. He's definitely tired.
Yeah, tired from being a bastard all day.
Oh, that's what it is.
Remember, random acts of kindness day.
Yeah, yeah, he's still a bastard.
All right. Good show, ladies. Looking forward to covering Runaways. It's an exciting new thing. I was watching this thing. I watched it twice, you know, between yesterday and today, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to this series. Yay. Good call.
Yeah, it's a nice palate cleanser after, like, The Punisher.
I think I would have gotten increasingly depressed going into Jessica Jones, but okay.
Oh, yeah, the second season. Yeah. Sorry.
I kind of figured. Okay. Broadcast has been successfully terminated by dinosaurs.
That will eat you no matter how much you love them.
Lauren.
No.
You would have to be psychically connected to them.
We'll just be really good friends.
No.
I don't want to see you eaten. I don't want you to be raptor food. I love you.
Stay away from the dinosaurs.
We're friends.
No.
Yes.
Maybe if you went into an avatar of one, that would work. Ooh, that could be one of the new Avatar movies.
Oh, God.
Jurassic Avatar. Never happened.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2013 through 2019.